I'm John Basser with Alan Phillips. His book is The Red Hotel, The Metropole Hotel and the Untold Story of Stalin's Propaganda War. Back to the hotel. Alan, you're conducting your interviews and you're assembling in this enormous amount of material in the period of time when suddenly the Soviet Union is gone, but the Russian Empire turns non-transparent and sinister again. Events you never meant to bring together, but you address that matter in your introduction and your afterwards. What do we learn from the Red Hotel? We didn't mention that Pulganov, the man who ran the journalists so that they couldn't send anything true. Everything in Russia is true except the facts. Wasn't that Chollerton? Yes, that was Chollerton.
Chollerton said that, yes.
Pulganov becomes head of TASS. We wondered why TASS was so repetitive in the 1950s and 60s. It's because the man who learned to do that at the Red Hotel. So today, what are your reflections as a journalist about how Moscow is treating journalism one more time?
I think if you look at what drives Putin, it's very clear that one of his heroes, and he has many heroes in the past, is Stalin. Not Lenin, of course. Stalin is the bogeyman, but Stalin. Stalin won the great victory at huge cost. I'm sure your listeners will know that there was a huge cost, but when you read that 24 million Russians, Soviet citizens, died in that war for the victory, many of these were unnecessary and due to the incompetence of Stalin and his conduct of the war in the early years, when he allowed whole armies to surrender to the Germans. Anyway, to get back to the main issue. So Stalin established a playbook, which was if you want to make the country great again, to borrow an American expression, you have to have complete control of the media. And during his 20 years in power, he had, even before the Ukraine war, he'd established control of the broadcast and printed media. They were all under state control or under the control of Kremlin-friendly corporations or oligarchs. The other lesson of Stalin is that human life is expendable, and in fact, death is a good thing if it's for the motherland, which is why we have seen horrendous numbers of Russians killed in this unnecessary war, far more than in Afghanistan, for example, which was such a disaster that it helped cause the fall of the Soviet Union. Anyway, so those are two lessons that Stalin has taken. Of course, you can't take historical parallels to the present and the future. There are huge differences. The digital media is, out of all comparison, different from the media of the 1940s. With one decree in 1941, Stalin demanded that all the radios in the Soviet Union should be handed in so that no one could listen to German broadcasts. And so frightened was everybody that they did indeed hand these radios in, because they'd have gone to the gulag if they were found listening to a foreign broadcast. You can't do that in the digital age. So the disinformation is slightly different. In the 1940s, Stalin tried and actually succeeded to a large extent in getting foreigners to believe what he believed, what he wanted them to believe. It's more complicated now. I think the main goal of the disinformation abroad is to confuse people. People think, I don't understand. If you spread enough doubt abroad, then people will think, I don't understand who is right and who is wrong in this Ukraine thing. Let's just forget about it. And uh, so the So his goal is that the Americans, who have the arms and the money to support the Ukrainians in their defense of their land, will lose interest slowly. And eventually, and perhaps even with the next presidential election, you would have a president who's not interested in supporting Ukraine, which will effectively freeze the conflict and allow Russia maybe to resume it in 5 or 10 years when the army feels stronger.
Final concern I have is the newspapers who published these censored stories. Are they regretful that they participated in that propaganda?
Throughout the war, the British Embassy in Moscow realized that the reporters were mainly being misled, manipulated, but Stalin was going to beat Hitler in Europe, so it was an unpleasant aspect of life that had to be tolerated. At the end of the war, the embassy was clearly hoping that the journalists would come back and saying, "We were robbed. Right. We were told what to write." No one said a word. There was only one journalist. It was called Paul Winterton. He went to his paper, the News Chronicle, and said, and with a piece to saying the conditions of censorship, which was not just to protect military secrecy, but to control the whole narrative of everything. This paper refused to run it. He went round Fleet Street, which was the home of all the newspapers. They all refused to run his piece. They all wanted to keep this quiet.
The book is The Red Hotel, The Metropole Hotel, and The Untold Story of Stalin's Propaganda War. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.